The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's quite the exhortation, I think, especially today. You know, the darkness of the day is like, can we ever feel awake, alive, alert, you know, on a day like this? Well, we're gonna try our best anyway. Be watchful, be alert. Yeah, Jesus is in this passage speaking, of course, to the people of his own generation. If you want to follow the passage, you know, a little bit previous to this, in the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel, you're going to find this kind of a cataclysmic scene, right? There's a coming confrontation, certainly between Jesus and the authorities, but there's a time where Jesus, after his death, will be vindicated by God, and that vindication will look like the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and really the crushing of Israel as a people, the people that opposed, resisted, and rejected Jesus's call to go God's way of peace. So he's then advising or exhorting his disciples to be prepared for that day. Being prepared for that day means that they are ready to follow him even into, say, the end of the world and beyond, right? The end of the world as they know it and beyond. I think we can't really understand just how serious and life-changing, really life-ending, the destruction of the temple would have been to the Jewish people. But we can understand here that the call to remain watchful so that we continue to be who we are no matter what we face. And that's really the primary exhortation of this gospel, at least the reason why we choose it for, that we have it here for the first Sunday of Advent. So I have to say just really a few things about Advent, right? I think the first is this. Advent is a penitential season, okay? Now, you might have heard from other lesser priests, not just kidding, but, you know, lesser people than I, that Advent is not a penitential season. Of course it is, okay? Advent is a penitential season. Yeah, I don't know what I'm just like saying, you know, based on my own authority. No, this is the way that church conceives it. It's always fast before feast, right? So this is like a lesser fast than the fast of Lent because it's a lesser feast. Believe it or not, Christmas is a lesser feast than the feast of Easter. Okay, so it is preparation, penance, fasting, prayer, almsgiving. It's the same contours of the season, even if it doesn't necessarily feel that way. Now, there are any number of reasons why it doesn't feel like the same kind of season as, say, Lent. I think one of the chief reasons is probably because people are not throwing Easter parties in the middle of Lent, right? It's like, I don't throw Easter parties at all, right? So, okay, so we have Christmas parties happening in the middle of Advent. And what I'm going to say might shock you on this point, okay? Fine, okay? Fine that in the world around us, and largely, I want to say something like this. The world that doesn't know Christ, okay? Now, I'm not going to use that as, you know, as the mallet, right? The 2x4 to start beating people over the head with it. It's not the world doesn't know Christ, okay? They're condemned and all the rest. No, they don't know any better, okay? The people around us don't know any better. They're celebrating Christmas now. God bless them, you know? Okay, we recognize, right, the called, those who have been loved into, who recognize that we have been loved into existence by God, that we've been chosen by Christ Jesus to be members of his own body. We're going to follow him over the commercial interests of our day. Okay? I'm not telling you to not buy stuff. I'm just saying we're going to follow Jesus over the commercialization of Christmas, which has things kind of all out of order. And that's really the point, is that we are out of order, and we know that we're not ready to celebrate Christmas today. Yeah, and that's why we could say we have 4 weeks, but we have 3 weeks of Advent. You know, because we're celebrating Christmas Eve on the fourth Sunday of Advent. Christmas Day is the Monday following. Okay, so you have 3 weeks of Advent. This is where the be watchful exhortation comes in for me. It's like, you've only got 3 weeks, okay? This is the shortest Advent of your life, even if it repeats again, right? So let's bring the intensity and the focus of the season to bear, no matter what's going on around us. We know that we're not prepared to receive Jesus as the world's coming King. We are, in the sense that, you know, our hearts and our minds are trained on him, right? But just as here he says, may he not come suddenly and find you sleeping, we recognize that we're dozing a bit. You know, we're snoozing a bit. And so we need this season in order to be refreshed, renewed, refocused on the significance of the season, which is the welcoming of Christ. Okay? Now, I've said Christ a number of times. I want to get into this particular aspect of the season and of the feast of Advent, yeah, and then Christmas. I want you to pay attention to the readings and the prayers and the hymns of the Mass as we make our way through Advent and then into Christmas. What you will come to see, now that I tell you, right, what you will come to see is that the season is all about kingship. It's all about the kingship of Jesus, right? He is King. Okay, now I said it's a penitential season. You accepted that quite readily because I'm wearing purple. You know, many of you are thankful that I'm wearing purple because it looks very good on me. Some of you are just like, yeah, shake. Hey, don't shake your heads. Come on, this is the purple candles, right? Purple for us in the church liturgical life is a penitential color, but not only in church life, but much more broadly, at least from some time ago, purple is a color of royalty. Yeah, so I have to remember, this season is all about the coming of our King. Okay, in that sense, we're not celebrating just the advent of Christ. Christ means King, by the way, right? It's from the Greek Christos, anointed. He's the anointed King of the Jews. He's the Lord of all nations. He's the rightful ruler of every human heart. Okay, so he's Christ the King. Yeah, we not only celebrate Advent, we celebrate the Advents, the comings of Christ the King. How many comings do we have? We have three. Yeah, traditionally we break it down this way. We have three. One is, I want to do this properly liturgically. The next couple weeks, we focus on the second coming of Jesus. So when Jesus returns in glory and the reign of God is firmly and finally implemented, finally, like totally implemented, so what has been inaugurated on the cross is now firmly and finally implemented in the return of the King, who then rules over all. With no exception, right? He rules over every human life, every human heart, every human activity and endeavor and whatever. Jesus, when he returns, rules over all. Yeah? That's the second coming, and we celebrate that these first couple weeks or so of Advent. When we get to the last week or so of Advent, we start to prepare by reading about the events that precede the birth of Jesus. So his first coming. Okay, his coming among us as a man, his being born of a virgin, and so on and so forth. His really watching his life then as he comes to rule, right before he's enthroned here on the cross and the rest, how he's coming to rule, how God is becoming King in and as Christ Jesus. we're going to celebrate that, you know, say, and especially in a very specific, in a very focused way, the events that lead to his birth, we're going to celebrate the last week of Advent. All the while, we're going to celebrate what, it's not really the third coming, it's more like the second, but the third category of Jesus coming to us is his coming to us here and now. Okay, so what I want to do in this last little part of the homily is to take Jesus' second coming and tie it to his coming to us today, most especially in prayer and in sacrament. And if you want to look at it more broadly in the focus of the season, this penitential season, his coming to us now in prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Okay, where the rubber is hitting the road, yeah? Okay, so what do we long for? We heard in the first reading from Isaiah, we long for the day when all is put to rights, when the entire world is put to rights. So we long for the justice of God. We long for his merciful rule. Yeah, is the world, I mean, I say, is the world in good shape today? Is the world in good shape? Yeah? Okay, end of homily then. You know what? I got nothing to say to you, okay? Is the world in good shape? No, the world is not in good shape. The world is not in good shape. Do we desire? This actually is a better question. Okay? Do we want to live in a better world? Yeah, we could. Now I'm seeing a lot more yes, but I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. Because what have we done? What have we done about it? You know what I mean? What have we done about it? It's like, okay, so I'm reminded of the fact that, you know, first Sunday of Advent is a new liturgical year. And with a new year come resolutions. And I'm thinking about all the resolutions to, like, lose weight or whatever. You know, it's like, okay. They never come into effect. You know, it's like, yeah, I want to lose weight. I just don't want to do anything about it. You know, like, I understand that very well, yeah. Okay, so we want a better world. Where we have to find this commitment to bring about a better world is actually located in the passage as well. When Jesus says of the man traveling abroad, he leaves home and places his servants in charge, get this, each with his own work. Each with his own work. So this is one of the troubles of like even a commercialized news cycle. The idea is that money is made off of you by how much you watch. So you can't really find an answer there. I'm sorry to say this to you cable news addicts. You can't find your answer. You can't find an answer to the questions that are posed there. Why? Because if you were to find an answer there, you would stop watching. You would get on and do it and live it. So you have to be kept in that cycle in order to produce money for other people. Yeah? Okay, so here, his own work. What happens in that news cycle? We're distracted by the stuff of the world, but the stuff of the world put in particular shape so that we is stimulated in us fear, anxiety, trouble that keeps us coming back to that thing. Okay? Well, what's the problem? The distraction is that we're distracted by someone else's work. And we're not properly attentive to our own work. What do I mean by this? I mean that, you know, the great focus of our life ought to be in that space that God has entrusted to us. That we're exercising good and wise stewardship of that corner of creation that God gives us. We all, each and every one of us, has a sphere of influence. How far does it go? I mean, some of us, it goes a little bit further than others, right? But it doesn't go all that far. It goes chiefly to the relationships, the people that God is entrusting to you. And how are we supposed to exercise stewardship in that sphere of influence? We are called to love. Okay, so what am I saying? I'm talking in simple terms about what theologically is known as collaborative or participative eschatology. Eschatology, the eschaton, is the age to come. Yeah, and we anticipate the age to come, the return of Christ the King, the putting to rights of the entire world. But what is happening now, what has happened since Jesus' death and resurrection, his ascension and ascending of the Spirit, is that he has gathered a people to himself to be renewed in advance of the renewal of the entire world. So we're renewed in advance of the renewal of the entire world, but we have to be about the work of renewing the entire world. And the power and strength, the life of that renewal, is the love of God. Right? It's the life of heaven. It's the power of heaven. It's God's own life of love that is now at work in us to bring about renewal and is working through us that we might bring about the restoration of the entire world. Yeah, and that's what we're celebrating here in Advent. Yes, the anticipation of the age to come and the glorious reign and the rule, the merciful, compassionate, justice-filled, truth-oriented rule of Christ Jesus. We anticipate it, but we anticipate it as people who have been claimed by it already and do everything we can with everything we have to hasten not only the coming of Christ the King, but the coming of his great and glorious rule, that heaven might come now on earth. Yeah, and don't think me strange for saying it, because you pray it every time you pray the Lord's Prayer. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Advent, it's ours to do everything we possibly can to have that state of affairs brought to bear.